Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right. Well, welcome again to New Creation Christian Center this Sunday morning. This is Pastor Harold Franklin. And I want to first, before I get into the message, say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I know this is another holiday that we've now had where we're still away from everybody. We can't be close. So it's important for us to reach out to our mothers, and we tell them how much we love them and appreciate everything they've done for us. So Happy Mother's Day, moms all over the world. Happy Mother's Day to my mom. And I just thank God for my mom. She was such a great influence in my life. I was thinking about a story for Mother's Day, and this is kind of was a little bit of a sad story. My mom and dad were in the midst of being separated. My dad was trying to turn me against my mom, and I was at one point planning to move in with my dad and live with him, but then he got a job that took him all over the country. And I remember, I can't remember what my mom and I had said to each other, but I had at that time realized that my dad was trying to poisoned me against my mom, and that's just kind of what happens when divorces happen. And then I just remember us embracing and crying and saying, oh, mom, I love you so much. And so from that point on, you know, that was never, we never were able, never had that issue anymore. So I just thank God for my mom. She's been a great influence in my life, and I appreciate everything that she has done for me. So we are going to pick up on the message, according to your faith. So let's pray and let's get started. Father, we thank you for this time and your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us in this time, in this season. And thank you, Father, for opening our ears to hear and our hearts to understand, and then our will to do the things that you instruct us to do. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So we left off, we were talking about the causes of why people doubt or won't believe God, or won't believe what God says to us. And the first thing we said was we don't see how God is going to accomplish what he said he will accomplish. And we used Numbers 11 and 2 Kings 7. It's so important for us to not be concerned about the details of how God is going to do something. We just have to know that he is able to do it. Now, just imagine, think about this in that context. The story of where I think it was Lydia died, and Peter went to pray for Lydia. And Peter went down, and just imagine as Peter was going to pray for her, he was thinking, boy, I wonder how God is going to raise her up. I wonder if he's going to have to give her a new heart. I wonder, and see, all that stuff is unimportant. All we have to do is pray and believe that God will do just what he said he will do. Amen? Amen. The next thing that keeps us from believing is we don't believe that the Bible is true in the sense that we don't take what it says and believe that we can do or have what it says is ours to have in our own personal lives. Well, that's a mouthful, but what that means is we don't believe that the word applies to us. We think it applies to those that are in the old Bible days, as we like to say, and maybe somebody who's super spiritual and pray all the time, fast all the time, and they're close to God, they're walking with God, but the Bible's promises are for every one of his children. We went over in Judges, and we talked about Gideon, but I want to go back and look at a passage that Gideon speaks. This kind of confirms what how people think when they are in a tough situation. Gideon is doing something and he's hiding the wheat harvest from the Midianites who have come and raided the land and taken all the food from the Israelites at that time. And in this chapter 6, verse 13 says, Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt, out from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Now here we see Gideon believes that the promises were for the children of Israel that came out of the promised land, but he didn't think they were the promise for them in this current situation. And we have to remember that God doesn't change. He promised to protect Israel from their enemies, and he will do just what he said he will do. So we have to believe that God's promises apply or work for us. They're not just for the super spiritual. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure there is such a category of people. Yes, there's more people that pray. Yes, there's people that study the word. Yes, there are people that can do more things in the kingdom of God. But God doesn't respect his people, one person over another. The Bible says he is not a respecter of person. So he wants us to all believe that he will do for us just like he'll do for anybody else. Amen. The next thing we have to understand when it comes to receiving from God is many of us who've been raised in traditional churches have been taught that the things, the miracles of the Bible are not for us today. Now imagine that all of a sudden God, who did miracles from the beginning, he did miracles for the children of Israel, he did miracles through the prophets throughout the era of the children of Israel, he came and brought Jesus. Jesus did miracles. Jesus called the 12 disciples. They did miracles. Other people that were not those disciples did miracles, including Paul and Philip and Stephen. All these guys are doing miracles, but all of a sudden, God says, "Oh, that's it. The miracle shop is closed. We're no longer in the miracle working business." That is ridiculous on its face. God, the Bible says, "I am the Lord and I do not change." He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we have to understand that his miracles, his ability to do miracles, never changes. He is the same. He does miracles today. Well, why would the miracle worker stop being a miracle worker? Miracles are who he is. He is, everything about God is supernatural. Everything he says, even the fact that he speaks to us, is supernatural. So we have to understand that God's power is not based on some teaching that we received from some church that doesn't believe that God still does miracles. And it reminds us of the Sadducees. Now, the Bible talks about the Pharisees, and it talks about the Sadducees. And in chapter 23 of the book of Acts, verse 8, it says, "The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, no angel or spirit." So here the Sadducees were like the people that we have in today's day. They don't believe in the supernatural. I'm not sure how they think that we become born again without a supernatural encounter with God. But nevertheless, they can believe that, but they don't believe that God still does miracles. And many of us, because we've been taught this, because we've grown up with this teaching, we don't believe that God wants to do miracles in this day and age. But the Bible does not confirm this teaching. This is something that men have concocted in their own hearts. We need more miracles today, I think, than they did back then. Maybe not, I don't know. But I don't think the time has changed. We still have devils to cast out. There's still sickness and disease. There's still oppression. There's still all sorts of things that, I mean, what if we don't believe in miracles, why do we pray? What are we asking God to do if we don't believe that he can change anything? So it's a contradiction to our own prayer lives. Amen? The next thing, another reason that we need to understand is we're not sure, many of us are not sure that it's God's will to heal us, to bless us, to give us good things. Now, that's similar to God not doing miracles, but they only think of it in their own personal situation. But let me just go through a couple of passages that reaffirm that God is in the blessing business. So let's go to Romans chapter 8, this is probably my favorite scripture, 8:31 and 33. And it says this, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God is in the giving business. He gives us all things. If Jesus, who is his one and only son, the one that he loves more than even us, he sends him to die on our behalf so that he can redeem us and buy us back for himself. If he gave Jesus, why would it be in an impossible thought that God would give you heal your body or provide, meet your needs? Let me say this too about, you know, a lot of people always say, well, I don't think God is in the prosperity business or that prosperity gospel is this and that. Let me just say this. If you are called to write a book, and you write a book, and God is telling you to write this book, do you think it is going to be profitable for that book to never be bought? Nobody ever to get that book, and the book just sits on your shelf? No, that's not going to do anybody any good. But when people buy the book, and more people buy it, guess what? You also profit materially or financially from the sale of that book. And everybody who wants to reach God knows that it's not our ability that allows us to reach God. Let's go back to what everybody loves to talk about, Billy Graham and his evangelistic outreaches. His evangelistic outreaches weren't free. He had to have God provide the money to get him where he was going to do, pay for the building, pay for his staff. All the things that go into, and that requires God to prosper or meet his need. But many of us don't see God as a provider, as a healer, as a deliverer. So we have to learn to stop looking at ourselves like somebody that's a stepchild. You know, too many of us live the Cinderella syndrome. You guys remember the story of Cinderella? She was a stepchild, and she had to clean all the bedrooms, and everybody else got to do everything but her. And sometimes we're spiritual Cinderellas. We don't think God loves us. We think God is, we're just one of God's stepchildren. And when he gets around to us, maybe we might find a crumb on the floor. But God wants to bless us. Let's go to Matthew 7:10 through 11. And it says this. And we've read this, or I quoted this the other day, and I misquoted. It says, let's start actually at 7, verse 7. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks and receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there who among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more?" And we need to realize what the "how much more" is. God is so much more better than the best father on earth. He says, "How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things?" And you should underline "good things" to those who ask him.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
We have to get over the problem of not believing that God wants to do us good and not do bad to us. Like I told you before, God doesn't need the goods on you. He knows what you've done. There's no secrets from him, but he still loves you despite all your shortcomings. And we need to start saying to ourselves, we really need to start believing John 3:16 and just not just saying God so loved the world, but God so loves me. Amen. Stop making it so generic and apply it to our personal lives. So we need to understand that God does want to meet our needs. And the reality is every job we get, those of us that are born again, every financial situation we find ourselves that blesses us, every door that God opens to prosper us is something that he is doing on our behalf because he loves us. We attribute the blessings that we receive to God because without him, we can do nothing. Amen. So, and then the final thing that keeps many people from receiving from God is we have allowed our own experience with miracles or the lack of miracles in our experience to form our theology about God's supernatural power. Well, what does that mean? That means that many of us haven't seen miracles. Many of us have never witnessed a miracle. Many of us don't know what a miracle is. So we concluded that, well, the Bible, there must not be miracles in this day and age. But the Bible says in Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9, let's go to that real quickly. This is also one of my favorite passages of scripture. And it says this. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, what does that mean in when it comes to your faith and according to your faith? Don't limit God to what you think. Don't limit God to what your experience is with the supernatural. Don't make miracles not real because you may not have seen it in your own personal life. But let me say this. If you look hard enough, you will find miracles happening every day. And I'm not just talking about the miracle of birth, although that's a miracle in and of itself. And I'm not just talking about the miracle of the new birth. If you look on the internet long enough, you'll see people praying for other people, people's bodies being healed, people being raised from the dead, people all sorts of miracles, just like the Bible talks about in the book of Acts. There are miracles, but the media has no interest in showing or glorifying or lifting up Jesus. And most of us, unfortunately, get our spiritual theology from the world. The world doesn't believe in Jesus. And so in order to keep us from being weird or different, we don't believe in the miracles of Jesus. We say, well, we believe in Jesus. We believe he can save. But do you believe that Jesus can still heal? Do you believe that Jesus can still raise the dead? Do you believe that Jesus still casts out devils through his people? But again, it's according to your faith. So, what does it mean to according to your faith? Each person, this is what it means, will believe God based on what they think is possible or what they think God is able to do in their lives. Now, that's what I mean according to your faith. Many people won't believe if they don't think it's possible. Many won't believe if they don't believe that God will do it for them. But the Bible doesn't teach that. This is where we have to then get the mind of God. The Bible tells us to renew our minds and stop thinking like we think and think like God thinks. And so this means that we can start there. In other words, we can start believing based on what we think is possible, but we have to renew our minds so that we can get to the place where we believe that all things are possible with God. We know that Mark 10:27 that says, with men is impossible, but, excuse me, let's go to it real quickly because I don't want to misquote it. Mark is actually going to go to Mark 9:23 and then Mark 10:27. So Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe, or to him who believes. All things are possible. That means there's nothing that God won't do if you put your trust in him. And then let's jump to Matthew 10:27, and it says, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Some people say, well, I don't know what all things mean. Well, all things mean all things. Whatever you think is God is able to do, he will do it. But remember, we talked about how Jesus went to his own hometown, and he himself, the Son of the living God, the second person of the Trinity, couldn't do any mighty works because of their unbelief. Believing in God, believing in how God is going to use you, believing in God that God wants to answer your prayers is a big step for people in the body of Christ. We have to shake off our old theological rags and put on the garments of praise, the garment of faith, trust God, the love of God, loving him as he loves us, and believing him because he loves us so deeply and so dearly. So let's look at a few things, and then we're going to be closing. So how do we become people that trust God? How do we put off all these doubting? The first thing we have to do is we have to believe that God, what God says, without doubting, and trust that he will do what he says he will do. Now, there's a story of the centurion man. If you go to, is it Matthew chapter 8? And we know this is a great story because this centurion is not Jewish, so he really didn't even have a covenant relationship with God. And he comes to Jesus and asks Jesus to come and heal his servant. And Jesus says in verse 7, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And then Jesus says this, and this is an amazing statement. He says, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. So this Gentile who didn't even know God had enough faith to believe that if God said something, it was going to happen. And we have to get to the place that when we believe that this, what we're praying is the will of God, and what we're asking for, God is able, not, well, I guess he's always able to do anything, but he will do what we're asking, then once we pray and ask God, it's going to happen. And also, I want to say this. Many of our prayers, especially when it comes to praying for the sick, a lot of people pray and say, well, God, we're coming to you and we're asking you to heal. But Jesus didn't pray for the sick like that. Jesus commanded sickness to go. He rebuked fever. He commanded people that were lame to get up and walk. He commanded eyes to be healed. He Peter, when he was going to the temple to pray, and they came across the man begging, he said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you." And he said, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." He didn't say, "Oh God, you see this man, and Lord, you know his need, and Lord, we're asking that you touch him." And I'm not trying to make light of that, but we have to become people of authority and speak the word of healing over the sick and those that need God to touch their bodies. Amen? We have to pray like we expect something to happen, which is the next point. Pray to expect that our prayers are going to be answered. Mark 11, 23, we all know that one. And it says, real quickly, it says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." We have to trust that God is able to do what we're asking him. But like I said, but it starts with the promise. You've got to find a promise in the word that you can pray that's in the will of God. And once you get the promise, know it's in God's will, then you can pray with authority and confidence, knowing that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen? We've got to stop wondering if God is going to do something and just trust that he will do it. And finally, everybody say, finally, we need to get a true understanding about how God loves us and that he wants our needs to be met. We know Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We have to apply that personally to our lives. We'd have to stop thinking that sickness is a cross that we have to bear. We have persecution, and it's not in the form of sickness. Persecution is people coming after you when you stand for Jesus. And let me say this to you. As soon as you start praying for the sick and seeing God do miracles, you're going to be persecuted. People are going to ostracize you, call you all sorts of names, call you a fanatic, then that's persecution. We're not supposed to be sick and say, "Well, this is the cross I bear." No, the cross is that as you're obedient, people are not going to like it. The cross is, and that doesn't mean that we'll never get sick, don't get me wrong, but our first response to sickness is that, "God, I pray that you would heal my body." Not, "Well, this must be God giving me..." Trust that God is able to do what he says he will do. Amen? So it's according to your faith. However you believe that God will do for you, he will do it. But if you limit God, he will only do what you limit him to do. That's the greatest mystery of the church, is that if we don't believe that God will do what he says, he won't do it. But if we do believe, he will. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this message. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to stop acting like stepchildren in your house. Stop acting as if you were only a second thought to you. And Lord, we pray that you would draw us to yourself. Lord, there's people that have a hunger and a thirst for you. Some people that have been asking, "Why don't we see miracles like the Bible talks about?" Well, Lord God, we pray that you would help us to be bold enough to begin to step out and pray for people that are sick, that are diseased, that need to be delivered from the devil and break the shackles of the enemy. Lord, all the disciples did this. And so, Lord, you called us to do just that when you gave us the Great Commission. So, Lord, we boldly proclaim people to be healed. We boldly proclaim people to be set free from the chains of the enemy. We boldly proclaim that people's needs will be met. We boldly proclaim, Lord, that you are the door opener. You are the provider, Jehovah Jireh. Your name has not changed. And so, Lord, we diligently and faithfully trust and believe you, because we know you love us, and we ask that you would give us the kind of love that puts our trust in you that's even beyond what we could ever imagine. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to love you so that we can learn how to believe you and trust you even more. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.